Hello there. This is the News at 6, broadcasting live from CITR 101.9. I'm Alex DeBoer.
And I'm Alain Fortin.
Welcome to all our listeners. It's good to be back, isn't it, Alain?
I'd say that.
Well, you know what they say about the news. It sounds better when you listen to it less.
That is so true. And that's why you and I stick to our strict broadcasting timeline of once in a while.
Yes, it works well for us.
So what do we have on the table first today, Alex?
Well, we're going to start out with our news section, where we focus only on the most important stories of our time, selected carefully based on quality, accuracy of reporting, and balance. These stories paint a portrait of how strongly journalism can enliven and enhance democracy.
Perfect. That is a lot to live up to. What story shall we begin with?
It certainly is. So our first piece of journalism comes from the Metro News.
Of course it does. That really is a go-to for breaking stories by otherwise unheard voices.
Well put, Alain. The title of this particular piece is Don't Buy Alcohol for Minors, BC Woman Recounts Drinking Problem. It begins with the story of a young woman who started drinking at 12 years of age. She has since recovered from alcoholism and decided to share her story as part of the, and I quote, Think Before You Drink campaign, which is put on by a partnership of Vancouver Coastal Health, North Vancouver RCMP, and the West Vancouver Police.
This sounds quite familiar. What does it remind you of?
Well, I don't know. I guess it does bear a similarity to the sort of don't do drugs campaigns of our youth, Alain, but it is enhanced by rhyme. There's one difference there.
Yes. Reminds me of the very successful DARE program, which prevented me from drinking or doing any drugs until I was 17. I am quite a success story, though.
That's true. You're always beating the odds. But, I mean, back to the article. As the Metro News points out, binge drinking is a serious problem for youth in this province, based on the findings of a recent survey. Which specifies that there is a particular drinking problem amongst teen girls. It says, the data collected in 2013 found that young teen girls who took part in the survey were more likely than their male counterparts to have been drinking regularly in the past month. Girls who binge drink were also more likely to report multiple consequences of their alcohol use, such as passing out, having sex when they didn't want to. Let's just think about that for a second. Or doing something that they couldn't remember, the survey found.
I see, Alex. I mean, it just makes sense, doesn't it? Women tend to be more erratic and irresponsible, particularly young women. Just always taking advantage of the privilege they're afforded by society.
It's true. Yeah, and I mean, you know, not to get into the nitty-gritty, but some people might consider having sex when you don't want to be quote-unquote rape. But I think Metro News has really nailed the fact that in this scenario, the girls are at fault because they're choosing to drink too much and they are putting themselves in precarious positions.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely see that. Men really cannot help themselves when it comes to sex. I mean, there's no reason for us to put any blame on them. I bet these girls were even dressed provocatively.
You know what? I bet they were. And the article ends with the woman who has been recounting her story, who is now 21, urging other young women to take personal responsibility for the examples they're setting for young girls and teens. What do you think of that, Alain?
This is a really, really positive core message.
Yeah.
Women need to find a way to avoid the barriers that society has set for them.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's really up to us as women to look into ourselves and say, you know, what am I doing that is causing me to have sex when I don't want to?
Yeah.
Just reflect a bit.
Teen girls should really be asking themselves this because, you know, they're putting themselves in this vulnerable position.
Mm-hmm. No one to blame but themselves.
Don't get drunk.
Just don't get drunk.
Ever.
Don't be slutty. And don't have sex when you don't want to.
It's really not that hard.
It's not that hard. So it's this kind of a Metro News piece. Don't know if it's won any awards yet, but probably will. It segues nicely into a larger conversation I've been seeing in the media about how young women need to be careful about their binge drinking. So I actually saw a few months ago, I think it was released in February, that the CBC's, one of their channels called First Hand, released a short documentary called Girls' Night Out. And I'm just going to take from the film synopsis on the CBC website. It says, Girls' Night Out tackles the prevalent and often dangerous culture of binge drinking and young women. With the eye of a reporter, the curiosity of an anthropologist, and the sometimes wounded heart of a teenage girl.
Wow, that is truly beautiful.
Oh my goodness.
Teenage girls do have a lot of crushes. They're so silly.
No one can deny that.
So silly.
They are silly, silly. And so this CBC write-up of this documentary, Girls' Night Out, goes on to say that Girls' Night Out offers an intimate conversation around this very serious issue and explores the all too ubiquitous story of what's happening to 80% of young women at university campuses across North America with often damaging consequences.
Wow, I really like the phrase, often damaging consequences. Such it a nice
not a
euphemism.
No. Oh, sorry.
Oh, it might be. Who knows, really?
It could be.
In relation to...
Could be. Good point, Alan.
On-campus sexual assault. It could, you know, as the other term, could also be argued to be, quote-unquote, rape. But CBC knows better than to get hyperbolic in its reporting.
It's a bit hyperbolic, yeah. I mean, let's not... let's not exaggerate. So if women are going to get drunk and go out and face damaging consequences, I mean, whose fault is that really, as we said previously?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's absolutely the girls who choose to drink and not think.
I see what you did there.
You actually wrote that, though.
Oh,
just
yeah.
So everyone
I did
knows, Alex
write this
wrote
part of the
that.
Script.
She did write that, so
oh, Len.
It's your work.
See our self-awareness here? Just behind the scenes, a little glimpse there. Now, in an effort to present balanced news coverage, as we do here, we'd also like to, or I would also like to talk a bit about the a Globe and Mail article I wrote, which was a criticism of this CBC documentary. It's written by Lee McLaurin. And it is titled CBC's Girls' Night Out is a patronizing, fact-averse travesty. So
one woman's opinion.
One woman's opinion, yeah. This article points out that according to Stats Canada, young women are actually not drinking more excessively than ever, as the documentary asserts. In fact,
is that really a reliable source, though?
I think it's kind of like, Wikipedia.
They do it
you
sometimes,
know what I mean? It's like self-editing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in fact, young women in Canada are actually drinking less, according to Stats Canada. And the article goes on to heavily criticize the CBC, saying, and I quote, "This sort of sexist voyeurism cloaked in the guise of moral shock is nothing new to the celebrity tabloid press. But the producers managed to take it one wobbly, wrench-inducing step further into outright misogyny. The deep thesis of Girls' Night Out comes in the form of old-fashioned victim-blaming, a disturbing message coming from the CBC, particularly in the wake of the Yangomeshi trial."
Yeah. Mm. Another paragraph of the same Globe and Mail article that stood out to me, Alex. Mm. It says, "If you want to get wasted, the filmmakers seem to be saying, you run the risk of becoming human garbage. And really, ladies, whose fault is that?
Mm-hmm.
The faceless male rapists in this documentary, presumably drunk themselves, don't even merit a moment's reflection because, for men, drinking or behaving badly apparently isn't an issue. It's just a given."
There you have it, Alan. Something to think about. Although I doubt that both the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, a legacy media institution, as well as the Metro News, would be publishing biased, sexist, poorly researched articles.
That's what I'm thinking,
think
Alex.
About that.
But hey, this lady at the Globe and Mail may have had a bit of something extra in her coffee this morning, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I certainly do, Alan. Yeah, she's probably just another drunk girl.
Making a mess of herself.
Making a mess of herself, you know. So we are going to move on to our next story, but we are going to take a quick break and listen to Supermoon, a local pop band. They're pretty awesome. They just released a new album called Playland just saw them play in Portland. It was really great. And I haven't listened to the full album, but I have listened to this one track, which I'm very fond of, called Witching Hour. And we are going to play it for you. And we're back. Welcome to all our listeners.
All of our many listeners.
Yes, there's maybe at least one person listening. Didn't tell my parents about this show, so.
Yeah, we lost some there.
We lost some of our demographic.
Four.
There.
Four fans.
So that was Supermoon off their new album called Playland, and the track was Witching Hour. It sounded a bit weird at the beginning because I was also playing some horror music from YouTube.
A YouTube clip about PSAs.
Or is it art, you know? No, I apologize to Supermoon. That was a mistake. Great song, though.
Alex's mashup.
Yeah, that's really what this show is about. So now we are returning to our news section, bringing news to the people of Vancouver. So this is a harrowing tale of a little-tailed critter. Metro News published an article on May 10th titled, "Dead Mouse Causes Big Stink for Honda Owner, BC Dealership."
Breaking news.
And you know, Alan, sometimes what I love most about Metro News articles are their gripping leads. Like how this article begins, and I quote, "When Marina Roma March, the woman who is the centerpiece of the story, bought a Honda Odyssey at a Burnaby dealership, 2 years ago, she wasn't expecting the new car smell to be dead mouse.
I see what you mean. Who wouldn't be able to finish reading this article after an intro like that?
Truly. And wait till you hear what this woman has been through. Apparently, she had a dead mouse trapped in her car for upwards of 2 years.
No way.
Well, just wait. She's quoted saying, "For more than 2 years, my family has had to endure this rotting flesh smell. When it was really bad in the first year, we had to hold our noses and open the windows."
Really the stuff of nightmares. Jeez.
It absolutely is, Alan.
2 years.
2 years. Imagine holding your nose.
Every time you get in your car that you own.
Every time you get in your car. And it's like, jeez. It's supposed to be a luxury. You know, it's supposed to be a dream. So to make things worse, this foul smell has affected the woman's relationship with her Honda dealer. Apparently, she's been a loyal customer for the past decade.
My God. Something like this could really cause a person to lose trust in their car dealership.
It certainly could. Apparently, this woman brought her car to be inspected numerous times at her Honda dealership, and the dealership found nothing. Seems neglectful. The car owner, however, says that she believes, and I quote, the dead rodent was already inside the car when she bought it in 2013.
So she paid for it.
She purchased a dead mouse. She like purchased her own trauma.
Wow. Oh my God. Quite a bit of drama. How did the dealership defend itself?
Well, funny you should ask, Glenn. The dealership says that the dead mouse actually looks fresh.
That mouse is popping.
That mouse is popping. And they believe the rodent is also freshly deceased. Fond of the word fresh. It works. In fact, here's where we really get into the real intensity of the story, so just prepare yourself. The car owner has lost so much faith in her dealership that she has refused to bring her car back to the dealership to have the rodent cleaned out. So, see, we're in a bit of a predicament here.
Yes, in fact, I'm reading here that she remains unwilling to bring the vehicle in for an inspection, even after a manager met her husband at his place of work with a courtesy vehicle and offered to drive the car back to the dealership to clean out the rodent.
Well, that is a nice offer.
It is.
And yet there's some unresolved tension. I mean, I would have said yes to that.
It certainly is unresolved tension.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of story that really sticks with you. The car owner expressed to the Metro News that she feels, and I quote, "This experience has caused me mental anguish and distress." So.
My goodness.
Yes. And I know some may feel tempted to say this woman might, you know, try to gain some perspective on the sort of, you know, trauma of this incident, but I don't really think so.
You don't?
No, I mean, I think her response was totally proportional to the problem.
Yeah, that makes sense. I agree now.
Yeah.
Now that you've said that,
I don't really need to justify it. Yeah.
It's way more clear now.
Yeah.
Now I think we should take a break and reflect on this incredible tale.
Alan.
Of perseverance.
You know how to get me.
Stay tuned for some of local rising talent swim team with super hot bassist Dorothy Neufeld.
Yeah. Ugh, she is hot and talented. Women are worth more than their looks, so don't want to be reductive.
That's why we mentioned how hot she was, because we don't care about these things.
Yeah, it was. Anyway, so we're going to play two tracks off their EP called Freedom Constraint. The first one is called Recourse, and the second is called Interlude. So here we go.
So high again. When I look in your eyes, it all begins. But I keep on running from this feeling again. You're so high again. Everything's changing. Everything will change.
And we're back. Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome back to the News at 6 with Alain Forden and Alex DeBoer. So we just heard from Swim Team. We played off their new EP called, or their most recent EP, Freedom Constraint. We didn't play the tracks we said we were. We did play the first track we said we were going to play, Recourse. And then we played the EP title, track number 2, Freedom Constraint. So they're an awesome band. They're playing at Sled Island and I believe Music Waste this summer, so check them out. And then we're going to move on to our next news story, another classic from the Metro News. So this piece is titled Top Priorities of the Vancouver Park Board. So it's a sort of poignant piece published on May 16th, which offers readers a bit of an insight into Vancouver's local level politics. It provides a synopsis of a recent Vancouver Park Board meeting and includes some staff recommendations for the city.
Sounds like breaking news.
It certainly is, Alain. And, at least to us who call Vancouver home, so nothing to scoff at.
The important issues. What do we have first?
Yeah. Well, so it's a short article, but, important nonetheless. So the first section is subtitled Beach Chair Pilot Project. Which is sort of discussing the ongoing debate over a 2-year pilot program agreement to operate beach chairs and umbrellas as a rental service at English Bay.
Wow, Alex. Can we commit to that significant of a project? Think of all the people it will affect.
It's true, Alain. I mean, it could really change the very nature and tone and aura of the bay, of the English Bay.
Slick is way too big of a commitment, you know?
It's a lot. And I do, it weighs on me.
Wow.
It's something to think long and hard about. Apparently the, and I quote, recommended 2-year pilot project period will allow the board to determine overall market appeal and whether the program is beneficial for the park board itself. So they're trying things out.
Mm-hmm. I can foresee some sort of hiccups with maybe the takedown or the setup of the chairs.
The takedown or the setup could be...
Both very different activities.
Both very different.
A lot of different complications.
A lot goes on. A lot of emotional kind of energy goes
and
into...
And it's good. It seems like a good idea to have the pilot for 2 years, like not just one summer, because the first summer is gonna be rough.
Yeah, and the first summer is a throwaway. It always is in anything, you know.
You need the 2 years.
You need two. I'd say even three, but that's I go on the safer side.
Yeah,
I tend to be.
I agree with you on this issue with the chairs. That the 3-year would probably be better.
Not everything.
No.
Well, you know, agree to disagree. So. But, at the end of the day, good for the park board for taking some risks, I say. And really, if this pilot project goes awry, it's possible that not a lot of people will notice or care.
That's true. Yeah.
It's possible.
We will notice,
We'll notice, though. Len and I will not forget about this story. It is seared into our brains.
It will be gripping the edge of my seat.
Yes, you will be. So the second section is called Pigeon Park Cleanup.
Okay.
Yeah. So
do they have a 2-year pilot program for this?
Ugh. You know what? This is a sort of less sensitive area, and it's not really worthy of 2 years. So
you're right.
No, it's not like English Bay. So just,
keep
be
that
realistic,
in mind.
Alain.
Yeah.
So there was a motion at the recent park board meeting to ask staff to bring, and I quote, Pigeon Park to the standard, up to the standard of other Vancouver neighborhood parks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can see a need for that. Poverty can be so unseemly.
It can be. Lots of garbage and people hanging out there. It's like, do you not have like a full home with a living room to hang out in?
Yeah. Do you not have like an affordable living space?
Yeah. And it's like, we all know, if we know one thing about the city, it's that everyone has that because it's,
and just available. There's lots of 2-year pilot programs to fix that issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there could be, according to the motion, There is suggested to be a facelift for the downtown East Side space that could feature. Here are some of the suggestions, Len, and I really like these. I really think these are great suggestions. So the first one is a 3-tiered water fountain. Yeah. And then so we also have the suggestion.
That would look amazing.
And
there.
For all those who don't know Pigeon Park, it's rather a small park. It's
it's sort of the corner of
it's
a
like
street.
It's more of a sidewalk space. So a 3-tiered fountain, it makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah.
And then also another of the recommendations is a community art installation. Also lots of room for that. Throw that in. And then I think my favorite personally is the suggestion of a creative needle disposal box.
What would that even entail? Mm. A creative needle.
Because it's combined. That's clever.
Ha ha.
Ha ha.
But what would a creative needle disposal box, what does that even mean?
I mean, honestly, like, I had some thoughts about what it could do. Like, it could, you put the needle in and then it becomes like a terrarium. Like, with, like, air plants in it, and it's, like, really nice, and you sell them in kits, and then, like, give money to
the
poor people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, like, yeah, also, it could make them into, like, glass pencils, or I'm thinking also, like, a machine that kind of, like, and it's just a simple machine, and I could probably build it myself, but it changes the needles into kind of like encrusted, like diamond encrusted champagne glasses.
I like that idea.
Yeah, just like basic
Swarovski crystals, maybe.
Mm, yeah, maybe some rubies.
That'd be
on
gorgeous.
There.
Very creative.
I don't know. Like, yeah, if anyone, I mean, I feel like the paper should, or the park board should honestly do like a call in for suggestions for what kind of creative needle transformation
maybe at
boxes
like a,
could be made.
At like a farmer's market in Yaletown, they could sort of ask people to give some ideas.
That would be, you know what, that's a great location idea. Mm-hmm. Maybe a Nestor's, just like a little drop box. Whole Foods.
Yeah. Our neighborhood grocery stores.
Just neighborhood affordably priced grocery stores.
You know what they could also put?
What's that?
On Pigeon Park. Mm-hmm. Maybe they could just add a restaurant.
They could just make it into a restaurant.
Call it Pigeon.
Oh, my God. You know what's funny? I think that happened. But I think it's not on the park.
Yeah, and it's not spelt like Pigeon.
Oh, it's not?
Mm-mm.
Is it actually not?
Mm-mm.
Oh, interesting.
P-I-D-G-I-N.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yeah, it should be a really expensive restaurant, too, obviously. Because they're, as they said, they're trying to give it a facelift.
We
so,
need
like,
to
we're thinking Botox.
The face.
We're thinking
that's how
plastic
you do
surgery.
That's how you do it, Alan. That's how you do a facelift. Yeah, so
that will really clean things up.
Yeah, and, make it really expensive. Yeah, no one who lives there can afford to go, yada, yada, and so on and so forth. Really clean things up. So the final section of this park board meeting overview in the Metro News is discussing a motion that was introduced by a board member suggesting that Vancouver officially adopt a tree as like their official tree, you know?
We need this.
Because the city has, get this, we already got an official flag. We got a badge. We have a coat of arms.
Woo!
We have a mace flower. I do not know what a mace flower is, but we have one. We have a color. Honestly, what's our color?
What is it?
It's probably blue.
Green.
Yeah, something like that.
A nice turquoise.
Maybe turquoise. And we have an emblem, but we do not have a tree. So, I mean, it's like, hello, we need a tree.
Hello, what tree?
It's like, smack me in the face. It's so clear. It's like as I exist as a Vancouverite, there's a hole in me
in really,
the shape of a tree.
It really upsets me to find out that we don't have a tree.
I know. I feel you're upset right now, sitting next to me.
I
feel that.
I'm, going to draft an email to the mayor pretty quick about this.
Dear Gregor.
Did they have any ideas for
They don't,
tree?
But they actually are considering taking nominations. So they're not as concerned about the creative needle box, transformation box, as, I mean, I'm more concerned about that personally. But so, I guess they really, want to find a tree, and they're actually gonna announce it during announce the winner, whoever makes the best nomination, during Tree Week in 2017. So, you know, they've left a sizable
lot?
Amount of time to really ponder. And then during, as we all know, Tree Week, which is the week of February.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I go out to the spruce fields and
wow, I never knew this about you.
Yeah.
That's so sweet. Yeah, I love that they're taking, you know, they're planning.
I don't tell you everything, Alain.
You should. I love how they're planning so far ahead for that.
It's important.
But when it comes to, you know, a beautiful park, Pigeon Park, and what they're going to do about that.
Yeah.
It's just...
It's sort of whatever.
Yeah.
Slap in an art installation.
Just throw up a statue. I mean, putting a fountain in.
The fountain is lavish, but...
Putting in, like, an Italian fountain would be pretty cool.
Ooh. Italian? Where did that come from?
I'm just thinking, like, marble. Like, let's be flashy here if we're giving it a facelift.
Marble does come to mind. So we're going to take a quick break here before we bust into some headlines and then some astrology. Keeping things
dabbling.
Light.
I've been dabbling.
Alain is a bit of an astrologist. Little did you know.
Who knew?
She knew because she's a fucking astrologist. So we're going to hear from Homeshake. They're from Montreal, I believe. And we're going to listen to track off their album Midnight Snack. Great name. Track number 9. It is called Move This Body. So enjoy that.
Standing all alone in the corner, it's something that I'm used to now. Maybe if I step out to call her, she would know what to do. 'Cause baby, I'm in need of something. And if anybody knows it's you, what I should be doing with my feelings. Do you think I just need to move this body out? Baby, you know that I'm shy. Maybe if you ask, we can dance all night. Baby, you know that I'm shy. Maybe if you ask, we can dance all night. Come on.
And welcome back.
Welcome back to you, Alan. How's it going?
It's going great. Did you have a nice break?
Oh, I did.
Nice body break?
Yes, I was working out the whole time. So so we just heard Homeshake, a Montreal band, pretty sure. From their
90% sure.
From their album Midnight Snack. The track we listened to was Move This Body. It's Friday night TJF, so
pretty nice track. YOLO.
So that's the track we played, YOLO.
This next segment is called Van City Buzz Headlines Reveal Great Journalism. In all caps. Great journalism in all caps.
It's true. And because, you know, I've heard from my friend who works in PR that Van City Buzz is actually surpassing the Vancouver Sun in terms of, like, readership. Their ad fees are higher. They're really taking off. So it's really good to see a local media outlet take off that has such merit and such, you know, determination to uncover the voices of the voiceless. Frankly. So let's read some of these titles. Let's get into it.
All right. So this is like a very great article. I'm sure I've perused it myself.
I remember this.
I'm a Van City Buzz girl. This article is titled Best Places for Sunsets, Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can sort of
Think it's an investigative piece. Another one is Wild Rumpus Gambier Island Camp. So it's a camp for adults.
So called Wild's Rumpus.
So fun. Probably some drinking. Probably some...
Summer camp for adults.
Yeah.
Something I'm not interested in at all, but someone might be. So...
Someone might be.
All right. The next article is Fair at the Peony Summer Dates.
Important to know. Good you can't just facts. Read that on a website.
No. And these are just good facts to have, for sure.
Just good facts.
And even, you know, it'll influence when you should or should not be leaving the house, depending on traffic and going to the peony or not going to the peony.
Absolutely. That's so true. We also have an article, Tumbled.
Oh, my goodness. Fumbling around.
It's these little moments
love
that keep
being on the radio.
So it's titled Vancouver Public Square Rooftop Garden. And... it is a piece about corruption. Just kidding. It's about a rooftop garden. That's
just
what
like
it's
where it is. What's where going is. On there.
Where it is. Mm-hmm. That's where it is. All right, Alan.
So this one is called, I'm not even sure what it's about. Buddha Full Expanding with Second North Vancouver Location.
Yeah, so it's a restaurant, I think. It's getting a second location.
Buddha Full.
So I don't think that would have been a paid content piece. Do you?
No, this is just investigation, as you know.
Just news. Breaking stories.
Breaking stories.
Another one we have is Peony Prize Home worth $1.4 million. Revealed photos.
Ooh, revealed. So, that's scandalous.
Yes, they went there and they took some photos, and not just anyone can do that. They got a media pass and they probably didn't pay, and they probably took some photos with their phone or whatever.
They maybe even got to like go in the pool.
Can you do that?
No, but like they probably had an all-access pass to sort of test
VIP
out
pass,
the home. Yeah,
party pass.
Party
sick.
Pass.
Sick, sick.
And this last one is great. This is a great title.
Yep.
Bellis Unfair. Canadian shoppers cry foul over Bellingham Mall's at par promotion.
Mm.
This is really getting to the bottom of a huge issue.
Yeah. I mean, the dollar, the Canadian dollar, should it be this low? How do we, you know, is it fair or is it unfair?
I don't think it really,
good
word I don't play. Know if we talked about that, but.
I think that's what it's getting at, Alan.
Yeah, yeah. That was a theme.
Because the thing about these, the Van City Buzz, is you don't need to read the article. You just read the headline.
Yeah.
And I think that
everyone
will agree with me there.
I love that. I would rather
you're a Van City Buzz girl.
I'm a Van City Buzz girl. All I want is the title. I want to know what's going on real quick.
It saves time.
I don't want any details, though.
No.
No, thank
don't
you.
Don't bog you down.
No. Very depressing stuff, usually.
Yes. All right. Well, what do we have next?
So,
fun
as
section,
I before, I have just sort of been dabbling in a bit of astrology, doing a couple of my own horoscopes. You know, trying to, like, figure out the world to a greater extent, you know, and like one way that I found is really helpful if you're like having a bad week or you're trying to figure out, you know, why doesn't this person like me or why do they like me too much?
Yes.
You can just find out what their sign is. So
that's so helpful.
Yeah, so, you know.
Really helpful.
It's a good way to deal with most issues, I find.
Yeah.
So one thing that I found was that I thought might be interesting to share is that Donald Trump is a Gemini.
Oh,
so
my.
His birthday's coming up.
He would be.
But it makes sense,
such
right?
A Gemini.
It makes complete sense. He's such a Gemini.
He really is.
He's like
he
a really bit is. Two-faced. He's like
yes, the twin
very
thing.
Twin controlling. Face. Yeah. So
yeah.
I actually have a... just put together a couple horoscopes. They're very short, though, sort of Van City Buzz-esque. Just
well,
right straight to
would.
The point. So I'm just going to get into it. So Gemini. This is for all you Geminis.
Mm-hmm.
Please drop out of the American presidential race if you are a Gemini. Mm-hmm. Donald, listen up.
So just for everyone.
Yeah.
Just for everyone.
I mean, you can take... the thing about these, it's great. You can take from it what you want. You
yes.
Know? You,
it's like a buffet.
It's up
take
to your interpretation.
What you want. Yeah.
It's up to interpretation. Okay, so Capricorn. I'm a Capricorn, in case anyone was wondering, which they were, I'm
you
sure.
You didn't even have to say. Yeah,
I know.
I could tell.
We all knew.
We all knew.
So Capricorns, listen up. Have you ever felt that your entire existence is meaningless? It most definitely is. The fact that you are even listening to this proves how pathetic and insignificant you are.
Well,
so take from it what you want. I mean, I have just started out doing this, so I don't know if I'm any good yet. Scorpio. When the moon rises on the 33rd day of the following month, you must make some changes. You should throw out that yellow shirt.
Mm.
Sagittarius, shoot for the stars.
Yes.
Leo, tread lightly. Make a life change. And, you know, whatever, Libra, Picasso, pieces, all the other signs, like, you get the picture. Just sort of pick what you want. I didn't quite get to the other ones.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need all of them to be read to you, right, people? I mean,
no.
You can just...
And I'm not even sure if that's how it works.
I don't know. I think, yeah, I mean, we only know mainstream horoscopes, but let's challenge ourselves to deviate from that.
So thank you, everyone, for letting me share my newfound hobby.
Thank you for sharing it with us, Alain. So we're going to take a quick break before we get into some... citizen journalism. Stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we're going to check out a track by local two-person band Moo, fantastic band, Brittany and Francesca. They're great. This is from their album 2. I think I said that. Can't really remember. It's called Vampire. So it's going to be good. Check it out.
I've been feeling
And we're back.
Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back.
So this next little part, we're moving away from Metro News, sorry everyone, to a bit of more like a Van City Buzz style interpretation. So you know how they post like really digestible lists and you can read everyone's comments, which is really nice because you can get a little taste of what the people are saying, about what the people
want. Citizen journalism.
Exactly.
Is what we're gonna
citizen
talk about
journalism.
Here.
Like Yelp. So yeah, we're going to talk a bit like about Yelp. And you know, when you read a Yelp review and it's like really bad or really good and you sort of wonder what's going on in the rest of this person's life?
I mean, I get that, you know, because it's like once in a while it's like, are you upset about this meal being, you know, a little bit late or early, or is it something else?
Like your wife or like...
Yeah, or like global warming or like what's up with you?
Yeah, besides... like what's on your mind? So I decided to combine some citizen journalism, i.e. Yelp reviews, with some recommendations for outdoor activities in this extremely poorly planned segment I'm going to call Tips for a Five-Star Summer in the City.
Great title.
So summer's coming. You know, the weather's been beautiful. I'm officially on summer vacation.
Party.
We've got patios. We've got sangria. We've got mosquitoes, body shaming, swimming, day trips, exhausting heat waves, forest fires, drinking beer in the park. Vancouver is a beautiful place. And, you know, we really need to prepare ourselves to enjoy the, like, small amount of summer that we usually get. And then we have to be inside for 9 months.
I feel that.
One place that, you know, I don't think I go enough, even though it is very gorgeous and not very far, is a little hidden gem called Stanley Park.
Oh my goodness.
And this place even, it has a 5-star review on Yelp. So it's a pretty hot spot.
I think I've heard of that park.
So one of our reporters, i.e. just a man who commented on Yelp, he says, "What an amazing place. 5 stars isn't enough, but it's all I've got." This man has an amazing perspective on life, really. So you can even see
bursting positivity.
You can even see from this comment that, like, he's got good stuff going on outside of the Yelp review, outside of Stanley Park, you know?
Yes, exactly, because, you know, that kind of analysis works in both ways, right? So if someone's very positive, it's like, what else are you positive about? It's
exactly.
Like, yeah, so
things are pretty good for Patrick L.
Patrick L. is chilling. Helen Y. from NYC also gave the park 5 stars and basically wrote a novel, published it on Yelp, also about Stanley Park. She says, and I quote, "Stanley Park, with all its glorious 1,001 acres, could well be one of the reasons Vancouverites are smart enough to keep to mostly 9-to-5 schedules. Because when you have a park this user-friendly and this spectacular, you need to work hard and finish up at a decent hour to leave plenty of time for play. If you're feeling melancholy, the flowers in the rhododendron garden and the rose garden will elate you. I was stunned by the profusion of blooms in the rhododendron garden. If you're feeling restive, the tranquility of the Lost Lagoon will enfold you in serenity. I wanted to sleep by it and while the hours away. Want some sun and fun with the family? Head to Second Beach, where there's even a pool and a kids' playground and water park. If it's a stroll in nature you want, Stanley Park has numerous trails where you can commune with its ancient trees or a paved seawall where strollers, cyclists, skaters are all treated to breathtaking views of North Vancouver, Cole Harbour, and Kitsilano. It's a workout for the body and a balm for the soul."
Perfect amount of words.
Just a concise.
I mean, she might be a bit mistaken about our job security situation.
Yeah.
That was a spot on voice for her, absolutely.
Well, it was her voice.
She makes amazing points about the park, though. However, not everyone has a 5-star experience at Stanley Park.
Hard to imagine.
Here's a review from Vera A. She gave a 1-star review, so she had a bad time.
Bold move.
"This is the most grotesque park I have ever seen. Stanley Park is disgusting.
Ugh.
There is shit everywhere along the trail."
Everywhere.
"And I'm afraid to step anywhere for fear of condoms and needles."
Oh my goodness.
So, I don't know. I mean, if you've never been to Stanley Park, this is going to seem very terrifying. I have nothing against whatever people want to do with their lives.
Do what
seems
you
like
want.
You might. But seeing no garbage there. Overrun something that should be mossy and green just outright pisses me off.
Okay.
The only really cool thing this park has to offer is the random little statues and totem poles hidden away in parts of the park. But getting to them can be a scary process. I guess if you're a city person and have never really ventured into the forest outside of your comfort zone, you might find the concrete paths down along the seawall very entertaining and enjoyable. But I don't think you can call that a park. The duck ponds and whatnot are nice. But as far as calling it a park goes, blah. Kind words
sometimes
from
Sometimes you just need one word and it really says it all. Like, she could have just said blah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, she had a bad day at the park. It doesn't exactly sound like the Stanley Park that I've been to, but, you know.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I feel like Stanley Park might not be for everyone, but I think it's definitely worth a look still, you know, despite these kind of varying reviews. But don't drive there. You know. That's a warning I've learned from these citizen journalists. Many Yelpers have shared their stories of auto theft on the Stanley Park, in the parking lots, near the parking lots, on the roads, wherever you're parking your car. There's auto theft. Watch out. Here is a story from Stephanie S.
As much as I want to give this park a 5-star, I just can't.
Mm.
Reasons why? Because someone, or more than one person, broke into my brother's car in the parking lot while we were enjoying a bike ride at the park to Granville. The police wouldn't come because it wasn't an emergency.
Unreal.
We told them we're from the U.S., but the operator wasn't helpful.
Rude.
The staffs at the souvenir shop was helpful and understanding for letting us use their store phone.
Mm.
Despite all the bad things and stuff that got stolen, which can be replaced, it was fun and we all enjoyed the park and it was beautiful. But we'll not be going back to Canada ever again. The law sucks. No wonder lots of incidents of cars getting broken do happen because the law enforcement or government doesn't take it seriously enough. I honestly feel bad for giving this place a bad rep, but it just happened to happen there, and I just had to share my story.
Ugh.
But
did you have to share your story?
It's a question we'll all be asking ourselves.
You know what, Alain? That's a great note to end on. Not positive, but it's a note. It's a resonating note.
Did you have to share your story?
Did you have to? We'll all be pondering that. So this wraps up our News Hour at 6 with Alain Fortin and Alex DeBoer, broadcasting live at CITR.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much for listening. We're going to end the show with a track from our friend Rochelle Rovner's band Posh Lost off their album IFOU, track number 4 called Shelter. And, you know, pay attention for our next posting of the show because we don't know when it'll be. But hope to have you guys listening again. Thanks, guys.
Have a great weekend.